We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans and Pack-A-Day Podcast listeners? Welcome into another episode. Of course, as most NFL fans and Packer fans alike, we are fully immersed in to the NFL draft weekend. We are through three complete rounds, and there has been some incredible picks by many teams, some head-scratching picks by others, and everything in between. And none other than Rob Rieger, Eli Berkovitz, and myself, Matt Frelick, to get into that and break it down. We're pulling a little bit of a long shift tonight, which is fun. Typically, we're recording maybe in the afternoon, maybe a day ahead, but having to and getting to do it right after the second and third rounds, kind of fun. It's like, it's cool. You get to kind of react and really just kind of overreact. And we have some overreactions and maybe some things that we're looking forward to on Saturday. But guys, we start out the day with, you know, coming off of the high or the low of Jordan Morgan. I've kind of fallen in love with the pick after the last 24 hours, a little bit more versatile than I was expecting. And I think it makes even these selections today a little bit more sweeter. Eli, I'm not sure how you felt about the first round pick, but you have to feel pretty pumped about what they've done on day two, especially going out and get Cooper. They go and get another safety that was needed. There's many available there, but there's a lot of things that went very chalky when it came to a lot of mock drafts people were putting out, either people like myself or people smarter like you guys. It seemed like a lot of those picks in that round from, you know, 35 to 50 for the Packers were exactly as we expected.
Yeah, so just real quick, starting with last night, again, Jordan Morgan, player I really liked. I with the way the board fell, it was a little surprising just because of obviously some options that were there. But by no means does that mean I didn't like him as a player. There are just some other options I thought could have been a little better fit. But Morgan, like you said, going to end up being a solid piece of this offensive line, a tackle or guard. They'll move him wherever they need him, and that's what's great. More versatility on the line. And then, yeah, tonight kind of went as good as you can hope. Obviously, there was a lot of pain, like to start the night right before 41. And, you know, the Eagles, like, it was classic. You know, the Eagles coming in and then just like the cherry on top, trading out, and not just trading out, but for your pick to turn into Kool-Aid McKinstry, a player all three of us have talked about a lot and really liking. So that was tough. And it was like at that point in my head, it was like, if we do not do what I think needs to be done going forward, it's going to be a really tough night. But they did exactly what, I mean, in 80 plus percent of my mock drafts, I had Edrin Cooper and Javon Bullard in this range, somewhere in the second slash third round, going to the Packers. They pull through and they do that. Marshawn Lloyd, another guy, was one of my favorite targets to look for at day three on that 88-91 range. And then Tyron Hopper, a bit of a surprise. We'll get into it. But clearly, they want to really emphasize the middle of the field with this new Jeff Hafley defense.
The crazy part about the Cooper DeJean pick is, like, I just don't think Philly is a white cornerback team. And I'm just going to throw that out there. It just seems so bizarre. And then, like you said, they get sniped in front of them. Therefore, they trade back. And then Kool-Aid goes there. It's just like, man, that's tough to swallow. Now, before we, you know, poo-poo too much, Eli, I think, you know, you've had your mock draft confirmed. We need to let Rob do a victory lap because these are the two guys that he's really, really wanted. But, yeah, it's unfortunate that the way the draft fell and the prospects from last night, it seemed like, you know, even the fact that Arnold went at 24 is like it would have been a corner that they select. They end up not doing that at all, even with Cooper and Kool-Aid falling back-to-back there. But they end up trading back, getting a couple guys, and then, you know, subsequently do end up making some selections later, more than likely on day three. And just to put the formalities out of the way, the Packers did trade back from 41 to 45 with the Saints. Along the way, they acquire a fifth rounder, pick 168, a sixth rounder of 190. They now have currently eight transactions or eight picks to have on Saturday between those four rounds. Not a bad place to be, but they end up did obviously selecting at 45, 58, 88, and 91. But we're particularly looking at 45 and 58 and Rob Reeger. Rob, how many times did you I mean, it sounds like Eli picked Cooper and Bullard quite a few times, but how many times did you pick them? And you're pretty pleased with yourself.
I only do one mock draft completely, and I nailed both of the picks. And, you know, it's posted on my Twitter that I had Edrin Cooper as our first second round pick, and I had Javon Bullard as our second round pick. So I'm very, very happy with that. And, you know, it wasn't accidental. I was kind of looking at what the Packers needed and the types of players that they look for. Brian Gutekunst, and I felt like those two guys specifically were guys that kind of fit into what the Packers did. I also felt the same thing about Jordan Morgan, even though I feel like we did reach a little bit for that. So I'm happy with the picks. Okay, so number one, Edrin Cooper, he was my number one rated linebacker, and Bullard was my number one rated pure safety. Now I think that Cooper DeJean is a better safety than a corner. But it looks like they're going to try him out at corner first, which, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with that. He can maybe be that Swiss Army knife type of player. But at the end of the day, as far as pure safety goes, I felt like Bullard was my top rated guy. So when you come out of a second round with a number one linebacker and a number one safety, that's very, very impressive. So I can't complain too much. Although, I mean, the head scratching part of it is I think that we all felt like our cornerback position needed some help coming into this year. I mean, if you look at the Packers from last year, yes, we finished on a high note, but the team was only 9-8 during the season, and we gave up back-to-back NFC Player of the Week honors to Baker Mayfield and Tommy DeVito. And then right after that, Bryce Young, who was worst team in the league with the Carolina Panthers, came in and threw for over 300 yards and almost led them to a comeback victory against the Packers. And I don't think anybody took a look at our secondary and said, yep, we're good there. No, specifically cornerback. Yep, we're good there. We don't need anybody else. So the fact that we've gone five picks in now and we haven't addressed the cornerback position is, to me, a little bit of a head-scratcher, at least for depth purposes. Or for special teams purposes, typically cornerbacks are great guys on special teams as well. So, I mean, with a lot of picks tomorrow, there's certainly some opportunities, but I don't know if we're looking at starters at this point. And, you know, when you look at where the Packers were picking, Kool-Aid McKinstry was there. Cooper DeJean was there yesterday. There were several players that really stood out from the cornerback position that I felt could really step in and be actually instant starters on the Packers, and they didn't address that position. So that's kind of my initial thoughts on the picks. I'm happy with them, but I'm not thrilled.
Yeah, I think it's a lot to unpack there. And I think number one is probably they must just feel confident in that cornerback room. And I don't think it's a reason not to feel unconfident. You have Jair, you have Eric Stokes, you have Carrington Valentine, and these all come with their own caveat. The first two, can you stay healthy? Eric Stokes, a lot of people are saying like maybe his best ball is behind him, although he is very young. It's tough to truly say that. We love Jair. I think he's a great player, but he is getting, you know, a little bit older. He's had some injuries ever since that injury sustained about 2-3 years ago in that Pittsburgh game with that shoulder. He's never really been the same health-wise. Carrington Valentine, great spot. Are you going to be able to get consistent play out of a seventh-round pick corner? Maybe. I don't know. I like the tenacity and the aggressiveness he plays with. So I guess I kind of just go back to they must feel so confident. But it is kind of weird when you're looking at – we already talked about the two, Kool-Aid, and we talked about Cooper DeJean. Like, it's one of – it's also confusing, though, when like there's a guy like TJ Tampa out there that they could have selected. It's also confusing as well when there's just – who's your guy from FSU, Rob?
No, it was Renardo Green was my main
guy. Renardo Green was your main guy. Okay. But, like, there's just other guys on this list. It's like, damn, you could have at least grabbed that guy. And as you said, like, maybe it's not a starter. Maybe it's a special teamer. And maybe those guys don't play special teams. But it just seems, at this point, to only have one defensive back selected is confusing. And maybe that would be another safety. Maybe a nickel guy. Maybe an outside corner. But it is kind of confusing at that point. And it's not to say that we're poo-pooing any of these selections. I think it's been fine. I definitely think let's get into it a little bit further. We already talked about the two. The other one we definitely need to bring up. It's awesome. They went and got a running back. Very fun. Marshawn Lloyd. Watching the draft with my father. Say, Dad, this guy's 5'8", 220. He goes, that's a little bowling ball. I'm like, absolutely. And you're watching the highlights, and the guy's a fun guy to watch. Eli, do you know anything about Marshawn Lloyd? For the people listening, and also, like, was that the best running back available in your mind? Was there maybe a different running back there? Or are you even surprised they even took a running back on day two?
All right. So first off, I just want to say, you know, when I say I did all those mock drafts, I, you know, like everyone else, you just do a bunch of mock drafts. When Rob does a mock draft, a lot more goes into it. And, you know, he does one mock. So his, I wasn't trying to like steal your thunder there, Rob. Obviously, you know, you nailed those picks, and it's very awesome.
No offense taken, Eli. It's fine.
Okay. Yeah. Just want to, you know, be clear on that. But I was back and forth, honestly, on a running back. I felt like we could take one today and I wouldn't be upset as long as it was the right one. And I do think Marshawn Lloyd was within my list of right ones. I think we all talked about Jalen Wright also as another guy we liked. But Lloyd, I definitely liked. I think they could have also taken one tomorrow and I would have been fine with that too. But Marshawn Lloyd is just, I feel like he's just a great complement right now to what you have in Josh Jacobs. Looking at what he did last year with USC, 820 yards, 9 touchdowns, you know, 7.1 yards a carry. Like, that is literally, we talked about it. We need a guy who could come in and make an impact on not 10 carries, not 12 carries, on like 4 to 6, 7 carries maybe a game. And that's how you do it. If you're having 7 yards a carry, you can get 5 carries and really make an impact and a mark on that game. And that's something Lloyd can do. He doesn't have a ton of experience catching the football, but that was really a lot more because of the offense he played in. I don't think he can't do it. And I think once the ball's in his hands, he's electric, as you can see with that yards per carry number. So get him the ball on the ground, throw it to him, bring him on third downs, give Josh Jacobs a breather. I think it really is a great pick. And honestly, not to like, you know, be a jerk, but I really think this pushes AJ Dillon like to like basically, you know, emergency situations or cleanup duty at the end of games, or as the H-back fullback, which I think I might have mentioned or we have before, which I'm fully down for, but I do not want to see him taking those other 6 to 8 carries a game. So give me some Marshawn Lloyd.
It stinks to say that too, because I do think there is a consideration that AJ Dillon might end up being inactive for a few games. Like, that's a real thing, especially when we go get a running back this early. And it's almost like the same body type, but a little bit smaller than maybe AJ Dillon. Eli, I'm scrolling through Twitter, and of course I see one of your countless tweets, which your thumbs are going crazy the last couple of days. Much respect. But Daniel Jeremiah saying, in his opinion, Green Bay Packers got the best running back in the NFL draft with Marshawn Lloyd. That seems like a stretch. Maybe it's not based off of the talent. It was kind of a little bit lower, maybe congested toward these middle rounds here. Rob, is Daniel Jeremiah correct on that? Was Marshawn Lloyd the best running back in the draft? That seems like a stretch to me.
Hey, friends, are you ready for the Bucks playoffs? Are you ready for a little Dame time? Even if you're not, you're probably ready for the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, or any of your favorite baseball teams kicking off their 2024 campaign. With all of this amazing action going on, there's never been a better time to get in on the excitement of Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your sports knowledge into some serious cash. Right now, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball entries on Prize Picks. Friends, I can't even begin to explain to you how much I'm enjoying my Prize Picks experience. It's so easy to play, and their user-friendly interface and enormous, and I mean enormous, selection of players and stat types make it a beautifully unique experience every single time I log in. Last week, LeBron James came up huge for me, and this week I'm looking to keep the momentum going, relying on Luka Doncic and Connor McDavid. And guess what? Even if Doncic or McDavid get hurt, Prize Picks offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. So what are you waiting for? Now is the time to get in on the excitement with Prize Picks. So download that app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. If you're like me, you've been in numerous ticket situations that were just flat out frustrating. Recently, I had tickets to a Bucks game and I could not locate the tickets that were allegedly sent to me. It ended up in a huge hassle and led to me being completely frustrated by the entire experience. Ticket purchases should not be that difficult, and thankfully, they don't have to be. GameTime is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals and their lowest price guarantee, GameTime takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I'm already eyeing up Bucks playoff tickets, and I know I'll be purchasing them through GameTime. My experience with GameTime has been simple, seamless, and completely without hassle. No more frustration, no more awful last-minute customer service phone calls, just easy access to great tickets. My favorite aspect of Game Time is their last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off by buying last-minute tickets, and save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the big game. And best of all, it's all covered with their low price guarantee. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
I think it is a little bit, but at the end of the day, guys, I mean, the Packers need depth at running back position. I said, you know, I was on the radio today and I talked about that. I said, that's a surprise pick that I feel the Packers need to address, because with AJ Dillon as last year, they picked him up for basically the veteran minimum this year. So he's obviously kind of on the way out. They didn't really see anything in free agency that they thought would be a better pick. But the guy ran a 4.46 40, which is excellent. He's big. And actually, I'm reading the Dane Brugler, The Beast, right now, is right in front of me, and he compared him to a thicker version of Duke Johnson, and that is, I'm a comp guy, but I can't come up with anything better than that. So that's kind of what he reminded me of, Duke Johnson coming out of Miami, as a similar build and a similar type of player. There are concerns, though. I mean, from a talent standpoint, Daniel Jeremiah may be right, but this guy's been injured a lot. He's missed games 3 out of his 4 years in college. He missed an entire season in high school with a broken arm. So although he doesn't necessarily have wear and tear on his legs from not having a whole lot of carries, 291 over 3 years, really, which isn't really that much for a running back, but he still managed to get hurt a lot. He sprains his ankle. He breaks his arm. and he's just deep thigh contusion he missed some games with. He tore his ACL once. So there are definitely some durability concerns, but kind of going back to what you guys said, if he's only used, you know, 8 to 10 carries a game, maybe some passes out of the backfield, he hasn't shown a whole lot from a pass catching standpoint, but that doesn't mean he can't do it. It just maybe wasn't asked of him in that offense. But, you know, if he could stick to that and be that explosive 7.1 yard per carry guy, it'd be a perfect pick for us.
Yards per carry fly off the screen to me. That's one of five players, I think, averaging over 7 yards per carry last year in NCAA. Love the Duke Johnson comp. Clearly needs a longer way to go when it comes to the receiving game, as Duke Johnson has over the years. But I like it. I think I was very confident he'd grab a running back. Would it have been Will Shipley, Trey Benson? I think there's a couple other guys that maybe would have fallen there. Maybe they waited until day three, like Rob's suggesting. So that wouldn't have been the worst thing. But I think as of that point through the draft, it was great. The final thing I'll say is all of a sudden that, you know, we're seeing trends as Goody continues to go, and it's more solidifying themselves, finding guys based off of value that have some injuries that have occurred that would slot them down further on boards. It kind of seems like that's a consistent thing with Gutekunst. So we get through four picks, guys. We get Jordan Morgan, Edgerrin Cooper, Javon Bullard, and then we get obviously the running back, Marshawn Lloyd. And then I'm thinking they're going to round up the night at 91. Did I think they would take all these picks at this point? No, I thought they would have traded up. Whatever, they take 88, 91, that's fine. And I'm hoping for... Actually, we'll open the question. Eli, what are you hoping for at 91 there at that point? Four picks in, we've done three defense, one running back. What are you... Two offense, two defense, one skill position there. What are you hoping for at that point? What position are you kind of eyeing up? Is it another running, or is it another running back? Is it another linebacker at that point?
No, I mean, I am looking corner. Like, that would have been my preferred place to look. You are talking about in the place of Hopper, right? At 91?
Yes, sir. Yes, okay.
So that would have been my preferred there. You know, TJ Tampa was still there. I believe Kyrie Jackson from Oregon was still there. I also think Austin Booker from Kansas, the edge, was a potential option. So there were some guys there that I thought that would have maybe made a little more sense than another inside linebacker. But again, I think clearly in Jeff Hafley's defense, however much they're going to actually be in base, but that base is three inside linebackers. And I thought, you know, that Isaiah McDuffie as a third was pretty solid. But number one, even if he is solid as a third, there's no fourth. I mean, Eric Wilson, but he doesn't really play defense. He's a special teamer. There's no fourth. And in a three down, in a three linebacker defense, you kind of need at least one backup. So whether it's McDuffie or Hopper, whoever ends up getting that third spot, clearly, you know, they find it to be important. So, and also at this point of the draft, there are corners that I did like, but again, I don't think any of those corners are like coming in and really taking the job from Valentine or Stokes anyway, day one. So I guess they thought the value was better to just wait. And I guess we'll have to, you know, see. But there are still options there. I mean, these guys that I mentioned, they're still available. They could be there at 126. They could trade up. I mean, they have eight picks. If we have to, I mean, drafting eight more guys, it's like exhausting. It's so many names, so many people. It's like, do we need to draft 13 people? That's another argument. But either way, yes, Hopper, inside linebacker, it's just surprising. But when you're switching to a 4-3, you're switching to a 4-3, and sometimes that's what you got to do.
I thought maybe another offensive lineman at that point. You think corner. I doubt Rob thought linebacker. If he thought linebacker, it probably wasn't Tyron Hopper at that point. Right, Rob?
No, it wasn't. And I felt that we properly addressed that position at the point that we're at. I was kind of looking. I feel like a defensive tackle would have been a position that I would have taken a look at there. There are a couple guys specifically, Brandon Dorlis out of Oregon and Mekhi Wingo out of LSU, that I feel kind of give us that penetrating defensive tackle that is kind of missing with the Green Bay defense. Now the switch to the 4-3, you're kind of looking for guys that can shoot the gap. And Mekhi Wingo specifically had the fastest 10-yard split out of all the defensive tackles in the draft, including Byron Murphy, Johnny Newton, and all those guys. So I felt like he could have been sort of that penetrating defensive tackle, line up over the guard and penetrate into the backfield. So, you know, it was kind of a head scratcher, but at the end of the day, we are looking to improve our special teams. And I believe that Hopper's going to be a core special teamer on our team, kind of the way that Isaiah McDuffie started out, and then he kind of worked his way into some playing time. So that could be the same path for Hopper. My biggest concerns with him are, number one, he's not a great athlete. There's certain positions that, like, RAS score is great, but there's certain parts of their RAS score that are more important than others. Like, for example, inside linebacker, I like to look at things like agility. I like to look at the short shuttle. I like to look at the three cone, because you're moving back and forth. You're not necessarily running 40 yards at a time, but you're doing, say, 10-yard splits. You're doing back and forth. So his short shuttle was a 4.48, which is really bad for the inside linebacker position, way below average. And his three cone was 7.28, which is also very, very low, below average for just the inside linebacker position. So that's why I think that he may just – and the other thing that's kind of that we never even discuss is that with the new kickoff rule, now, is that something that maybe we took a look at, like who might fit in with the way that the kickoffs are going to be done, which is completely different than they've ever been done before, that there may be kind of Rich Bisaccia might have been looking for, like, yeah, we need a guy like this to grab.
I like that. It's almost like when you go a little bit holistically, five picks, the first pick ends up being like a Gutekunst pick. The next two almost seem like Halfley, you get your guy. The fourth one seems like, okay, Matt LaFleur, you get your offensive supplement too. You know, you lost Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon, team-friendly deal. The fifth one being a Bisaccia pick. It seems, when you say we picked a special teamer in the third round, Rob, it pisses me off. But based off of the new rules and potentially he may have to being slotted in, as Eli's saying, with a couple different linebackers that are going to be on the field, makes me feel a little bit better. You know, I would say a good balance thus far throughout the draft. I was loving it, honestly. Today was fantastic. Like, truthfully, like, from Cooper to Bullard to Lloyd, I'm pretty ecstatic. They kind of hit a couple different spots I thought were a need. But then the one that puts a bad taste in my mouth is, of course, the final selection with Hopper. And wherever he ends up slotting in is fine. I think they definitely needed probably to address linebacker again in the draft. I just didn't think it would be two linebackers like that on day two. But guys, like, it was a great first day and 2 days technically, and now you're looking at best available, right? And it's like, holy hell, like, tomorrow's gonna be nuts. Like, there's so many guys there. Like, Eli, are there eight picks? Like, it's just it's tough to even think that there's gonna be eight faces selected. And like, we can argue and debate if they would trade up, trade back to get a ninth or a 10th pick, which would be, again, absurd, but not against what Brian Gutekunst is about. But Eli, any guys on the current best available that you're looking at that you're falling in love with, you've been in love with, or you just think at this point, it's like, you kind of liked them. You did your 52 different mock drafts and this guy was usually gone after round three, anything that's just super value. Give us a couple names.
Yeah. So again, I'll just repeat a couple real quick. TJ Tampa and Kyrie Jackson are corner, but I think it would be a little wild. But if they felt like, I can't believe Jaden Hicks is still available. Like, that's shocking to me. Even Dadrian Taylor Demerson, pretty surprising. But I think Mason McCormick, the guard out of South Dakota State, is a really interesting option for them. Even if, with eight picks, I think you're going to have some luxury picks. They want to take a look at Javon Baker out of UCF at receiver. I wouldn't complain about that personally. Christian Mahogany, another guard, I think makes perfect sense to them. Super high RAS score. Keaton Oladapo, a guy a lot of people have linked to the Packers throughout this process at safety. I know we addressed that, but I think they're going to draft at least another safety. I mean, you don't really have much depth there. So there are definitely guys that I like, but the reason why I'm not overly upset with the Hopper pick is that there's no one left that I love. There's no one else that I thought was like, if we didn't draft a safety yet and we took Hopper with Hicks and Demerson there, I'd be like, what are you doing? What's happening here? But I feel like we hit our biggest need. And 91, they were like, look, we hit kind of all of our real needs. And we kind of like are going to take the player we like the most. And they liked Hopper, so I'll just trust it.
That's fair. Honestly, like, I kind of agree with that. There wasn't any picks I love. I mean, TJ Tampa, I'd like to kick the tires on. That would have been nice just to fill another corner spot. But no one that I was like, you know, doing backflips over. I think that's fair. I definitely agree with you, Jaden Hicks. Jaden Hicks would be a great pick. I do think they go and grab another safety. Is it this close to your other one? That'd be, I mean, if they get both of them, Bullard and Hicks, that'd be incredible. Rob, you had mentioned, I think either before we started recording or not, but you definitely mentioned Mekhi Wingo as a pick. Anyone else that you're looking at? I feel like you would have a laundry list. McCormick, obviously, I agree with you. McCormick would be a nasty son of a gun in the trenches from South Dakota State, but I'm sure there's other guys you have out there that you're considering as well.
Yeah, I'm a huge Mahogany fan. Not just the Ron Burgundy reference, but I do enjoy that as well. But but I like Christian Mahogany. He was a guy that I had them actually taking in round three. I felt like he would have been from Boston College too, so he knows Jeff Hafley pretty well. I wouldn't mind us a couple guys, maybe some depth at edge. Austin Booker is a guy that I have my eye on potentially, and the two that I mentioned, Dorlis and Wingo, are two guys maybe some depth at the defensive tackle position. Jaden Hicks being out there is kind of perplexing to me. I felt like he would have been gone by now for sure. So there's positions that I feel like we can go out and get. I've said it before. I think in our first podcast that we did together, that I feel that quarterback's a need for us. It was a little surprising that Spencer Rattler didn't go, being the fact that I know that you guys hate him, but I mean, he obviously has a little bit of talent, you know, maybe not in the third round, but if he drops in the fourth, he might be a guy or a Jordan Travis or somebody like that, or even a Joe Milton down the road. I feel like we shouldn't just settle for our quarterback position being where it is. I don't know if we've covered Edgerrin Cooper and Javon Bullard enough in this.
Go ahead. Let's run it back.
I mean, I have all kinds of stuff written on these guys. Let's go ahead. You know, I'm excited about it. I mean, think about Edgerrin Cooper for a second. He led Texas A&M last year in tackles for loss, sacks, and forced fumbles all in the same year. He had 17 tackles for loss, 8 sacks. He was a first-team All-American, and we got him in the second round. It's fantastic after trading down in the second round. So me being a guy, people that follow me on Twitter and other places, I'm not always the most complimentary guy of Brian Gutekunst and his picks, and I do feel that he's a bit overrated as a drafter. Especially in the other than Jordan Love, the 2020 draft and the 2021 draft. But, you know, we'll get away from that because I'm going to give him total props on this 3.4 RAS score. His 10 yard split, which, like I said before, is really important for an inside linebacker, is in the 98th percentile. So he ran a 1.54 in the 10 yard split. So he's so laterally quick. He gets to the ball, he's like a heat seeking missile out there. He's just a guy that I feel can be a perfect will linebacker. And, you know, for the people at home that don't know, it's a weak side linebacker. I just feel like he was the number one pure linebacker for me. And then Bullard as well. High RAS score, 8.25. The only knocks on him were his height and his weight. All of his athletic testing was off the charts over 9. So he's a guy that I feel from like a speed and agility standpoint are off the charts. He was also the defensive MVP of the national championship game. So he knows how to step up in big moments. He comes from a great program. Reminds me a lot of Buda Baker, to be honest with you, as a player. Just that kind of like a big nickel guy can play the slot. He can play back. He can play a free safety position. But at the end of the day, he sees the ball and he hits the ball. Tons of big hits out of him. He can separate the man from the ball. So he's a guy that I just feel is going to be an instant starter on our team. They'll have to work out their differences between the Alabama and the Georgia back there in the secondary. But I just feel like I was personally very, very excited about both these picks and want to give them their just due because these are players that I feel can be impact players for the Packers.
Fair. And Rob, did you say those are both your number one linebacker and number one safety?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Yeah, on my list, awesome. number one safety was Bullard. Now, kind of just for full disclosure, I have Cooper DeJean listed as a safety, and if he plays safety, I would have DeJean ahead of him. But if they play him at corner, then Bullard would be my number one safety, and then Cooper's my number one linebacker.
That's fair. And we talked about that last week, right? Like non-fits or like basically position groups that you're going to eviscerate, and that was the safety group. And I feel like we talked about that a lot, where it was just like this congestion of safeties. And it's interesting for me to finally hear, maybe you've said it, but I just wasn't listening well, like that you actually had a number one safety out of those groups. Cause I feel like there was so many guys that I was coupling together, whether it be Hicks or Newbin or Bullard, even Tyke Smith. Like, I feel like there were so many guys that was congesting together, whether they would have been, you know, the first safety off the board or later on in, you know, the 80s and 90s of the draft. But no, it's, I love the fact that, and I'm glad you brought it up, because I do love the fact that Halfley's able to get two of these guys that I think can really fill needs right now, like significant needs. Like Devondre Campbell's not there, and you're switching to a defense that's going to need to rely more on linebackers. Isaiah McDuffie, it seems like they're not very confident in him based off of drafting two linebackers now. And just getting that safety was so important, and the safety acquisitions they made in this offseason just tell you that it's obviously very important for the Packers to be successful based off of how they kind of limped around last year with it. But really what happened in this offseason is kind of, it's blown up the room, and they needed to prioritize it. They go out and select Bullard, they go and pay top dollar for Xavier McKinney, which I love. More than likely, as Eli said, they'll probably go and address it again. Eli, do you have one between Cooper or Bullard that you're more fixated on, like the one that you're more pumped about?
Well, first off, I just wanted to say Goody's doing his press conference right now. And first off, the deal to trade back with the Saints was made before Cooper DeJean was picked. So he was never, that was just never, like McKinstry, he was just never an option for them, which is unfortunate, but I guess it does make me feel better, though. At least it wasn't their pick and he got swiped right before them. That would have really been rough. The one for me that I'm most excited about, I really think I gotta go with Bullard, just to see what he can do next to McKinney. And it doesn't mean I'm really excited about Cooper, like very, very excited. But Bullard, I just feel like our safety play has been so bad for so long, and we just made a huge investment in McKinney. And I feel like it really would have been foolish to just be like, all right, spend a bunch of money, but then our second safety will be a 7th round rookie, or we'll draft another one this year, but in the 5th or 6th round, like, that doesn't make sense. You need to go and you need to have a couple of good safeties. Now we have two good safeties and we have a good middle linebacker group. Like, we're finally putting together a strong fast, physical, aggressive middle of our defense, which I feel like we've never had. We see defenses like the Niners have defenses like that that have killed us. The Bucs have had defenses like that that have killed us. Finally, they're putting together defenses like that with a new defensive coordinator. Like, I just feel like with the personnel they're putting together, the scheme switch, the new DC, if there's ever going to be a time we could actually see a change in the Packers defense, it could finally be this year. And it's really exciting. And then just looking at Bullard in general, I mean, he's one of the best safeties in the nation. I mean, he was 7th coverage grade of everyone in the class and, you know, 82.8 overall grade, which is obviously very solid. He's versatile as hell. He played 510 snaps in the slot in 2022. You know, that's just, that's a big deal. You know, you could put him in the slot if you need to. You could put him deep. You could put him in the box. He does it all. So that is the kind of guy you need to put next to McKinney to complement your huge free agent signing. So now they're both going to just kind of work together and it's going to be great. I'm very excited about it.
I think, man, one other thing to just kind of address with that, with the Cooper thing, is that the Packers will typically, and most NFL teams, just to kind of piggyback on that, is typically teams only have two linebackers on the field. You can say that their base is a 4-3, but over 70% of the time in the NFL, teams typically play either a nickel or dime defense. In those cases, you take one of the linebackers out and put a defensive back in to replace them. So if they have two very instinctive, fast linebackers in Quay Walker and Cooper on the field during those nickel and dime scenarios, Isaiah McDuffie would just simply be a backup. There's not too often where you have three linebackers on the field. I mean, about 30% of the time, but on those he can come in. But, you know, if you're having the two Quay Walker and Cooper on the field during nickel and dime, you know, you're looking at about 70-75% of the time where they'll be the only linebackers out there.
Yeah, I appreciate that, because it's like I at times have gotten lost in the sauce between, okay, we're switching from a 3-4 to a 4-3. And yes, I 100% agree. Like, I feel like Dom Capers is one that taught me that, where it's like, hey, we're going to run a 3-4, but literally we're a nickel all the time anyway. So, like, don't get too lost. But I do feel like there's been a transition, or there needs to be some sort of personnel change between a 3-4 and a 4-3. Albeit, you're not going to have three linebackers on the field all the time. But it's just, you even saying that, Rob, makes it seem like, even we go back to the Hopper pick, it makes less sense. Because even right, if you were to run three linebackers, I stopped myself halfway through trying to validate it to you guys. Even if it's Cooper and Quay Walker, you still have Preston Smith, who's not going to put his hand in the dirt. Like, that doesn't make sense. So it's like, why would you have ended up with Hopper when you already have, I mean, McDuffie might have moved himself out. It makes less sense to me. Yes, on paper, in a video game, Quay Walker and Edgerton Cooper are fantastic to have. But I just don't understand the Hopper pick even more than after that point. Maybe it is a special teams move, but it just seems like it was almost like unnecessary when you go, like you said, from 4-3. Typically it's 70-75% in the nickel base, and you're gonna have two of those linebackers out there. It just makes less sense to me.
At the end of the day, he is pretty fast. So if there were to be some maybe injuries issues with one of those two guys, if they've, you know, or if Quay Walker gets suspended again, then he could maybe step in and play there. I mean, he is fast. He does slot in as an inside linebacker. You bring up Preston Smith, but I typically see Preston Smith as strictly a pass rusher. I think that one of the biggest rips that we had on our last defensive coordinator was the fact that he was lining him up on wide receivers, Preston Smith, and having him try to guard them. So that's definitely not his forte. So I see him strictly as a pass rushing defensive end type of guy in this defense.
That's fair. I mean, I agree with you that he's more of a pass rusher than a guy that should be covering, you know, Justin Jefferson in the slot or 10 yards off any slot receiver. But
right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the one, it just, to me, you guys, just very bluntly, like, great draft. And then the Hopper pick comes. And it's like, damn it, I got to sleep with that in my gut the rest of the Friday night. That's just kind of where I end up being. But awesome. Eli, after you brought that up, I pulled up the Goody stream as well. And it's just, I'm going to have to go back and listen to this, because this is awesome stuff. Like, it's just really reactionary. It's kind of like Monday, where he's forecasting the draft, but then literally can come in and just be like, kind of told you so. Like, this is what I was going to do. Amarius Mims was never a fit. Tyler Guyton was never a fit. Therefore, I go and get a guy that is actually a fit. And just like this kind of like a little bit of a victory parade for him. But they have a ton of picks tomorrow. They start out tomorrow, guys. Round 4, 126. round five, 168. So a little bit of a gap there in comparison to what today was. But I think Goody made his hay today. Like, that's really what it is. He traded back from 41 to 45. Yes. Do you go and get one of those corners? Possibly, but you still get Cooper, Edgerrin Cooper. You still get Javon Bullard, and I don't know. You get a skill position player, which is great to add. I don't really necessarily know if they need to grab. Nothing's a need. Eli, you mentioned the term luxury pick. At this point, everything's a luxury pick. There really isn't anything that's detrimental. Maybe D-line, maybe an offensive lineman just to add some depth, but they can do whatever the hell they want. They could go draft Jordan, the receiver. They could draft the quarterback at some point, what they want. I would love a Joe Milton pick. They've set themselves up for success. Yes, you can continue to add a third or a fourth or a fifth, you know, defensive back or, you know, excuse me, a corner. But like at this point, you're just kind of truly drafting best available who fits or high character guys. But these guys, day three, you guys are going to have to compete. Like, there's so many dudes on this roster already. Plus the UDFA guys, they're going to want to go ahead and acquire because they do a tremendous job of that with all the scouting they do and going to some of these smaller schools. A ton of names still out there. And that's the best part. That's what makes this NFL draft so fun. Even when I was a young kid, like, you would still know certain players that were going to go sixth, seventh round, and, you know, following the team as religiously as I do now and being, you know, more of a diehard fan and an idiot with a microphone. It's just you truly just fall in love with some of these players, and you hope and pray that the Packers can draft some of them tomorrow. So it's been a hell of a 2 days, you guys. I was Thursday night, I was at the Cheesehead TV draft party downtown. That was fantastic. I was at the Pack-A-Day one over at Badger State Brewery. Ross Uglum was there. And it's been a great 2 days in Green Bay. And I'm very excited for next year for both of you guys to come to Green Bay and maybe camp out in my front yard for the draft as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to go there. I'm already been talking to people up to get some press passes for that. 97.3 maybe can get me some. Maybe Andy can get me some or whatever. Like, whatever it takes, I'll be there.
It's going to be nuts. It's going to be nuts. Eli, who's the first player off the board for the Packers tomorrow? Let me just throw you on the spot. Like I said, they have pick, was it 128, did I say? 126. Who do you think goes off the board for them there? Obviously, it's 26 picks away from now.
Yeah, that is definitely putting me on the spot. But I'll take a stab at it. I'll take a stab at it. Let's go Brennan Jackson, edge out of Washington State. Okay. I still think they want to add to their edge group. And, I mean, they have 8 picks, like you were saying. I mean, they could literally – you could draft every position before the end of this draft and just do whatever you want. So, edge, corner, offensive line. I think they're going to end up picking all 8. And he's just going to pick everyone, just going to draft everyone.
I'm glad I put you on the spot, because that all 8, I like that. I don't think that's like too hot of a take, but something tells me it's just too many guys to be selected. But no, I respect that. But guys, we appreciate everyone listening. Honestly, it's a late night. We're trying to listen to Gutekunst. We're trying to see who's still available out there. I think it's safe to say we all have enjoyed what the draft has been thus far, especially in the middle. That pick 2, 3, and 4 have been fantastic. Maybe on the exterior, not as enthusiastic or with the chalk or the majority of what people have gone with, if you will. But it's been fabulous. Obviously, if you guys are already listening to Pack-A-Day podcast on this audio side, you've probably already checked out the YouTube side. Andy's crushing over there. He's got Q&A's going on. It seems like every couple hours right now. He had a tweet earlier today talking about, holy cow, it's already 2:30. Like, this day is flying by. Yeah, I feel the same way this week. This week has been insane with the draft. We obviously have Saturday still to go, but we appreciate all the support everyone's doing. Obviously, on the YouTube side, if you're listening to this, please subscribe, rate, review on the audio side of the podcast, of Pack-A-Day podcast. And of course, if you aren't following us on Twitter already, please do so. So much content going on over there and just updates. Honestly, just even Pack-A-Day podcast alone, but definitely continue to support anyone in the Packers community, because there's tons of people that are putting out great stuff. Speaking of great content, Eli, it is the NBA playoffs, and I know there's been some games going on right now. I saw the Bucks lose tonight, which was unfortunate. Joel Embiid's being a jerk. I know you're putting out some content over there on the NBA side, but please let her know where they can get in contact with all of your sports analysis and info.
Yeah, tough loss for the Bucks tonight. That was not fun to see. But yeah, head over to ML Basketball. I'm sure many of you Packer fans have seen the account ML Football. So ML Basketball, giving you all of your basketball news, updates, stories, all the fun stuff. So check that out. Give it a follow. And then, yeah, you know, follow me on Twitter, Book of Eli underscore NFL. I'm sure I'll be putting out some stuff on Packer Report over the next, you know, few days and weeks, breaking down what could be 13 picks, 14 picks, 15 picks, 28 picks. I don't put anything past Goody at this point. It's going to be, yeah, it's going to be like a month of trying to just get through this class, but it's going to be fun. It'll get us through some of the dead zone of the NFL offseason.
That's well said. Absolutely. Rob, I know you probably have many sports. You probably have a radio hit to do yet tonight, but let everyone know where they can get in hold of your contact, or excuse me, all your content. And then also give us maybe a spicy take for tomorrow. Maybe a pick, maybe something that Goody does that we don't consider, because I know you're the king of the hot takes between the three of us.
Okay, I would say, well, I'll be on the radio again, 97.3 The Game at 3:30 in the afternoon on Monday, kind of giving my summary on that. So I'm their draft analyst for that station on the Drew and KB show. And then I also, the draft guide would be done, but you can buy the draft guide still, and you can look up the players, that the Packers drafted and so on and so forth, and get educated. And also a hot take for tomorrow. I think we're taking a quarterback probably in round four. I'd four or five. I feel like Sean Clifton isn't really the type of guy that they're looking for a backup, and or Clifford, I should say. And I feel like quarterback will be addressed at some point.
I don't think that's that crazy at all, but I like it. Early tomorrow would be nuts, but that would be, I mean, there's still some value there. Like you said, you mentioned Rattler, I mentioned Milton. I think there's a couple of guys. Michael Pratt might be a guy that could go. But no, I think quarterback definitely, that is kind of spicy, but I don't think some people want to accept that Sean Clifford might not be the guy. We appreciate you guys listening. I appreciate the two of you staying up late and continue to put out content with me. And as always, for all Packer fans,
go Pack, go.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.